Now for our reading tonight, we turn to the New Testament and to John's Gospel, chapter 3, the account in those opening verses there that the Lord gives to Nicodemus concerning the new birth. So we'll read from the opening verse of that third chapter, and we'll read down to verse 9. And again, we worship God as we hear his word in John 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Amen. And we give thanks to God for that portion of his holy word. So as we continue the study we're doing in the fundamentals of the faith, we come now to consider the doctrine of the new birth. The new birth, or often in theology it is called regeneration, which is basically just another word for new birth. Now, one of the passages in the Bible with which probably we're all familiar is that encounter between the Son of God and the Pharisee Nicodemus in John chapter 3 there, in the course of which the Lord said, Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. Now, those words were not spoken to Nicodemus alone. If the Saviour had been addressing Nicodemus alone, he would have said, Thou must be born again. Thou, you singular. But Jesus does not say this. He says, Ye must be born again. Ye, you plural. The word is spoken to everyone who is in the same condition as Nicodemus. To you, O Nicodemus, and to all who stand where you stand, ignorant of the way of salvation, estranged from the true and living God, existing in spiritual darkness, I say to all of you, ye must be born again. Now, in the language of today, being born again, that phrase has been degraded into nothing more than having undergone a serious change of opinion about something and now being enthusiastic to spread the new opinion. So if I was once right-wing in my politics and I became left-wing and I'm zealous about spreading my new political faith, I might be described as a born-again socialist. Now, this, of course, is not what the Bible means. On the other hand, when the phrase is used about religious or spiritual experience, it's often taken to mean some emotional crisis that propels a person into a new life of faith, born again. But is that what the Bible means? Must an emotional crisis accompany the dawn of faith? I, and no doubt many others, had no emotional crisis when we came to faith in Christ. It was a gentler, a more peaceful transition. And, sadly, we know that a man might have an emotional crisis in his attitude to religion, and in the long term, it might come to nothing. It might peter out, and he might end up back in the world. But whatever being born again means, the New Testament says, I cannot be saved without it. Those born again, and those saved from sin, death, the devil, and hell, justified by grace through faith, adopted into the family of God, these are just simply different ways of describing the same people in the Bible. So then, when the Bible speaks about new birth, it's not referring to a mere change of opinion, nor is it referring necessarily to an emotional crisis in a person's attitude to religion. Rather, it is referring to a work of God, something God does within the soul of man, which may or may not be accompanied by an emotional crisis, by which I cease to be a child of darkness, alienated from God, and I become instead a child of light, reconciled with God. In other words, the new birth is a change that takes place at the deepest level of my being, deeper than surface level feelings. And it has to do with my relationship with God. It is a God-related thing. I become a new man, a new creation, in terms of how God, the true and living God, and I relate each to the other, how God sees me, and how I am connected to him. And, supremely important, this new birth describes something that God brings about. It is a divine work, a divine work. It's not something I do, but something God does. Regeneration flows from God. It is his work, his act, his accomplishment, his gift of salvation, reaching out from the risen Christ to sweep me up into its embrace. The new birth is a heavenward thing. It is the very powers of the world to come now breaking into my existence. God begets me again to new life in Christ. Why then would such a radical work of God be necessary? Why does Jesus say to us, to me, to everyone in Nicodemus's state, ye must be born again? Why? Well, the answer to that lies in the Bible's diagnosis of the human condition. According to Scripture, human nature is so corrupted by sin, so spiritually diseased and defiled, and so inwardly wrecked and ruined, that it needs, in a spiritual sense, to be born afresh, born all over again. The Bible says, this is Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The human heart is deceitful. It's a past master at deceiving others and even itself. I am very skilled at pretending to be something I am not. Not just in the eyes of others, but even in my own eyes. I fail to recognize my own motives. I have little understanding of my own personality. Why? Because the heart is deceitful. Truth does not come easily to the fallen and sinful heart of man. Moreover, says Jeremiah in this verse, the heart isn't just deceitful, but it is deceitful above all things. Deceitful above all things. There's nothing so deceitful, so false and deceptive as the human heart. It is the most false, the most dishonest and most hypocritical thing in the universe. Who can know it, says Jeremiah? Who can fathom it? That's one part of the Bible's diagnosis of man's condition as we find it in Jeremiah 17. And then we have the second part of the diagnosis, which according to Jeremiah is this, that the human heart is desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. Now the word wicked here literally is sick. It's literally sick. There is a desperate, indeed a terminal, sickness in the human heart, which elsewhere the Bible calls the plague of the heart. That's 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 38. Left to myself, deep down inside, my relationship with God, my Creator, is so radically diseased. I am so desperately disaffected and separated from Him by nature. That is to say, my spiritually sick nature. I have no love for God. I have no desire to love God. And I have no desire to submit my will to His. And since God is the spiritual source of all goodness and life, my alienation means that I'm delivered over into spiritual darkness and death, separated from the fountain of life. The sinful human heart, deceitful above all things and desperately sick. That's always man's true ultimate problem. And that's why I must be born again. Spiritual rebirth, my greatest need. Whatever else I may think I need, and there are perhaps many things I do need, but whatever else I may think I need, above all else, I need to be spiritually reborn. And this is something I can never give to myself. I can never give it to myself. The very name by which Christ describes it shows that. He calls it a new birth, being born a second time. No one brings about their own birth. I did not decide when or where or how or to whom I would be born. I did not choose the parentage or the time or the circumstances. Jesus tells us that it is like that in the spiritual realm also. I cannot give life to my own soul. I cannot change my own heart. I cannot transform my own nature. I cannot wash or cleanse or purify myself by my own efforts. These things are absolutely beyond mere human power. Only God, only the sovereign creator of life can give life to my spiritually dead soul. He alone can bring about the new birth. He alone can wash me, cleanse me, purify me, and make me into a new person, a God-centered person who looks to God and lives in the presence of God and finds his strength and wisdom in God. In this matter, human nature is powerless to help itself. I'm thrown into a position of total dependence on God. The Bible also says that human nature needs to be recreated and resurrected. I must be created anew. I must be resurrected from death. Now, these three different ways of speaking, rebirth, recreation, resurrection, they all point to the same thing. Man's nature needs to be radically transformed by divine power. As God puts it through the prophet Ezekiel, this is Ezekiel 36 and verse 26 following. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. It's no good tinkering about with human nature. It is no good giving up a bad habit here and adopting a new resolution there. That's just like putting a sticking plaster over a cancerous growth. There needs to be radical transformation from the inside out, a new birth, a regeneration. I must be born again by divine grace as a new man. Now, according to Scripture, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is the one who gives this regeneration. The Spirit is the wellspring and the bestower of the new birth. Not, of course, to the exclusion of the Father and the Son, as if they were redundant and irrelevant here, and as if they'd been, as it were, chased away by the Spirit. But biblically, the Spirit is the person of the Trinity whom Scripture especially associates with the new birth. And most famously, we find that in the Lord's discourse to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, to which I've already referred. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Born of water and of the Spirit. The cleansing of water is the outward and visible sign of what we need. The reality itself is given by the Spirit. Born again of the purifying Spirit of God. And we notice that Jesus immediately goes on to say, sinful human nature of itself can do nothing but give birth to more of the same. More sinful human nature. Flesh can only give birth to flesh. From flesh, only flesh can come. The Spirit of God alone can give birth to a spiritual nature. A nature in harmony with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, animated by the Spirit, and living in the kingdom of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The Spirit, then, is the life-giving author of regeneration. The Spirit alone can so turn me around, so illuminate my mind and transform my heart, that I forsake created things as my first love. And I embrace instead the Creator as my first love. In fact, my only true love. Compared with whose glory and beauty everything else is dust and ashes. Has the Spirit bestowed this regeneration on me? Let me draw our attention very briefly to a couple of other verses bearing witness to the Holy Spirit as the springhead of regeneration. So in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel again, we have this in Ezekiel chapter 37. This is verses 9 and 10. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, the slain, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. The slain live, the dry dead bones live. Why? Because the wind blows upon them. Now the word wind and the word breath in Ezekiel's prophecy are the Hebrew word for spirit. It's the same word. The wind, the breath, the spirit. The heavenly wind of the Spirit breathes on the slain and gives them life. O Spirit, breathe on me. Make me live. And then in the New Testament, we have, for example, Paul's epistle to Titus, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. We see here two phrases put in parallel with each other: the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The renewing of the Holy Ghost is the washing or cleansing of regeneration. And so once again, regeneration, new birth, and the cleansing of man's defiled nature that regeneration brings, this flows from the Holy Spirit. And he is given to us how? He is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. So when the Spirit works to give me new birth, he's not acting without Christ or apart from Christ, or God forbid, in opposition to Christ. No, the Spirit is outpoured on men through Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of regeneration, is the Spirit of Christ. So then without Christ and his life-giving Spirit, Scripture says to me, I'm dead, dead in sins. I am without spiritual life in my worldly-mindedness, my self-centeredness, my ungodly self-righteousness. I love the world and I do not love God. What a desperate state. I need a new birth from above. I need spiritual rebirth flowing from heaven into my soul. It's my great need. And who's the agent of that glorious new birth? The all-holy Spirit of the risen Christ. From Christ, the conqueror of death, flows forth the Spirit of life to give life to those who are dead in sin. So, do I know the Spirit as the regenerating Spirit? Do I have new life in the Spirit of Christ? A ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and light. The master made answer in words true and plain, ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, ye must be born again. Now thus far, what we've been doing is considering the new birth from the divine side. It's a divine work. It's an act of God by which he recreates and resurrects man, the sinner. A divine work. However, what about man's side? If regeneration is the divine side of my salvation, what's the human side? Or perhaps I could put it like this. Is there any particular mark or sign by which the regenerate man is known? Does Scripture point to some quality or some attribute in man such that we can say, if a man has this quality or this attribute, he may know himself to be spiritually reborn of the Spirit of God? And the answer to that question is yes. And the quality or attribute in man is faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. The first epistle of John, chapter 5 and verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. This is the human side of the new birth. This is the mark and the sign of the regenerate man. He believes that Jesus is the Christ, the promised Messiah. With all that that implies, that Jesus the Messiah is God the Son in human flesh, that he dies as the sacrificial Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world, and that he rose again on the third day as the Prince of Life. Faith in this Christ is the primary distinguishing mark of the twice-born man. Now, there are other marks. There are other marks, but Scripture always highlights faith in Christ as primary, because it is faith that unites me with Christ, so that everything that is his becomes mine. And that's why Scripture says I'm justified by faith, I'm adopted through faith, I'm sanctified likewise through faith, and so on and so on. That which from the side of God and his action is a divine work of new birth is from man's side set before us as my believing and trusting in Christ for salvation. The new birth and faith in Christ, two sides of one single coin. And in that connection, of course, we should also observe that according to the Bible, faith in Christ is the gift of God. It's not some independent work of man. In case I fall into the mistake of thinking that the new birth is some kind of divine reward for my faith. I believe by my own strength and God rewards me with new birth? Well, no. Because I could not believe or trust in Jesus Christ at all were it not for the Almighty Spirit's gracious illumination and empowering of my unbelieving will. In fact, in many ways, we could even say that regeneration is just exactly the divine bestowal of life-giving faith upon unbelieving man. Shut up in unbelief, I groan, and blindly serve a God unknown, till thou the veil remove, the gift unspeakable impart, and write thy name upon my heart, and manifest thy love. I know the work is only thine, the gift of faith is all divine. But if I call on thee, thou wilt the benefit bestow, and give the heart to feel and know that thou hast died for me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be given faith and new birth. God's promise in Romans 10:13. And then looking back, the saved man shall ascribe to God's free grace even his very calling upon God. Isaiah 65:24. Before they call, I will answer. In other words, my grace to them precedes their calling on me. Man's greatest problem, his sinful heart alienated from God. Man's greatest need, to be reborn of the Spirit. And this God mercifully gives. And the mark of this rebirth, faith in Christ. This new birth and this faith, Scripture sets before me as God's answer to my need. Will I call upon the name of God, the name of Christ? Will I cry out, save, Lord, I perish, in order that I might not perish? Or am I content in my separation from him who alone is true life? May God bless his word to the salvation of each one. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.